8-91-16.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Arnold Mann, and we're going to be talking about his book, They're Poisoning Us, From the Gulf War to the Gulf of Mexico, and it's an investigative report, and Mr. Mann is an investigative reporter. He's written a lot of books dealing with various... Oh, but this is a fascinating book because, of course, he's talking about a subject that's very close to my heart. And that is that there are many policies carried out by our government that are not necessarily designed to preserve our health. In fact, they're designed to cover up the fact that our health is being adversely affected. And with that as a background, Arnold, would you like to talk perhaps about the toxic buildings? Something I think most people are totally unaware of, but of course you have a fascinating story about the Southwest Airlines companies, certainly a reservation center there. Why don't you go ahead and give us the background of that story and the cover-ups and what happened to the people who worked in that building?
Yes. I was writing for Time magazine at the time, and we decided to go out and do a story on sick building syndrome, which was barely being covered in the press at the time. This was in 1998. And we went out looking for, we went out looking for respiratory problems, maybe a little chronic fatigue, and what we found was really shocking. We found seizures, strokes, and even death. The problem in the Southwest Airlines building, they had a big mold problem there. Management had pretty much concealed it over the years from the employees. And it was partly due to the fact that it was all through the air handling system, and it was also the building itself was under negative pressure. That is, there wasn't enough fresh air coming in. When the building is under negative pressure, you get condensation on the inside walls, and that also encourages big mold growth. They had carpeting on the walls that was pretty much mold food when it gets wet, carpeting on the floors, et cetera, and all through the air handling system. People were sick for the longest time, and they didn't know why. They were having problems with memory. They were probably having problems with chronic fatigue. And when it got really bad, they were suffering from seizures and strokes. They were being hauled out of the building in ambulances. During this time, the airlines had done several industrial hygiene inspections of the building, but they had kept them to themselves. The employees did not know about this, and people wound up getting very sick as a result.
And basically, there is this energy of sick building syndrome, and it's really related directly to this black mold, isn't it, that it forms on the inside of walls?
Yes, it can actually be growing behind the walls. The black mold we're talking about is called Stachybotrys. And this is the one that became the infamous black mold, black shiny mold, that is a mycotoxin-producing mold. And it does this for its own territorial purposes. It will, when Stachybotrys takes hold in a piece of damp cellulose, whether that happens to be wallboards or carpeting or anything, it puts out a mycotoxin that sort of breaks its territory out for itself and keeps other molds from growing in there. But this mycotoxin that's been found also for humans is very neurotoxic. It can be neurotoxic. It causes allergy problems, of course, but it can cause memory problems and seizures and strokes and things of this nature as well. It's a very serious toxin.
And, of course, people seem to find out that when they were in the building, they were ill. When they got out of the building, they felt ever so much better. They got very well paid, so nobody wanted to quit their job, even though they were getting sicker and sicker. And at one time, wasn't almost half of the people in the building sick?
That's what I was told at the time. In fact, the OSHA, OSHA eventually did an inspection. This was after the Time magazine piece came out. The report was not made public, but I did get my hands on it because several of the women from the building were suing for wrongful termination, and we got a hold of the OSHA report, and it was a damning report. And, yes, there were quite a few. I was told that half the people in that building were sick, and there were 600 working in there at the time on three different shifts. And the OSHA inspector did say that many people were in the building were sick. They were afraid to, they couldn't afford to quit. It was the highest paying job in San Antonio, just about. And also they're afraid of making complaints. They were afraid of perhaps losing their jobs as a result.
I thought one of the most interesting things in that segment of your book was your conversation with the union representative, who obviously the union is supposed to represent the people. You want to just discuss that, because it, I mean, if I ever read anything that was evasive, it was the response of the union to this very real problem that was really destroying the lives of many members of the union that they were representing.
When I first started talking to the union representative, it was just one phone call, lasted a few minutes. But at the beginning of the phone call, that union representative was sort of playing down the health problems that were in that building. And when I brought up the fact that I knew there were hundreds of people sick, she started to say yes, that was indeed true. She acknowledged the fact that one woman had died after a second stroke she suffered outside the building. That woman was 31 years old with a three-year-old child, suffered and died from a stroke. And the union representative, I want to say in fairness to her, because she was caught between that rock and a hard place, she said to me that she had pleaded with Southwest to please do something about the building, and she said that Southwest told her if there were any more complaints or problems, they were going to shut the building down. And that would have meant that hundreds of people would have been out of work. So the union representative was, I think she was trying to do her job, but...
Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with Arnold Mann, his book. They're poisoning us. They're poisoning.
Florida Tile in Fort Collins is proud of our U.S. men and women in uniform. We thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made to defend our freedom. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return home. We honor those who've given their lives to fight terrorism. This message is courtesy of Florida Tile at 1833 East Harmony Road, number 9 in Fort Collins. They support the men and women of our armed forces in our community.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, I'm here, I guess, this morning, Arnold Mann, who we're talking about his book, They're Poisoning Us. And basically, is this a common thing to find in certain hot human parts of the country, these buildings that really are give the sick building syndrome? Certainly you must have investigated this. What did you find?
Well, and besides the toxic mold, besides the Stachybotrys and other forms of mold that will produce these mycotoxins, the problem we have with buildings is that in the 1970s, they sealed them pretty much. I'm talking about office buildings, schools in particular, even our homes to a great extent. We sealed them up. And the reason we did that was because it's a lot less expensive to heat and to air condition a building when it's sealed than when the windows are open and when the building is breathing. So it gives these indoor air contaminants no place to go, and the people in them wind up getting concentrated doses of them on a daily basis. These indoor contaminants consist of mold. That's a big one, and that's widespread nationwide. We still have schools shutting down every year. I want to say hundreds of them because of mold problems and the threat to these young people. I interviewed a group of students in South Carolina at Eastside High, and they were having memory problems at age 16. So it can be very serious. Also, formaldehyde and other volatile organic compounds off-leaching from building materials can cause the same kind of problems that you see with Stachybotrys. People can have breathing problems, yes, and they also wind up with memory problems. They call it brain fog. And a variety of problems from this, health problems. And once one has been in a building like this for a period of time, and this is where the real danger is, it's not just the initiating toxicant. In other words, if you're in a building with Stachybotrys mycotoxins or formaldehyde leaching, that can wind up causing what Dr. Claudia Miller refers to as a toxicant-induced loss of tolerance. So that what happens is, the individual winds up sensitive to a whole vast array of everyday chemicals at very low levels that never used to bother them. And as a result of that, they wind up with multiple system symptoms. It can run from chronic fatigue, which is so common today, and this is where it's sourced from, fibromyalgia, also very common today, cognitive and memory and problems. It can be chronic gastrointestinal problems. This is where the real danger is. Yes, a person can get out of a building, but they got to get out soon enough before this much more serious syndrome kicks in. And we've seen it in people from all types of toxic exposures, from the Gulf War illness to people now in the Gulf of Mexico who are having the same problems from their exposures during the BP cleanup.
And of course, this really impacts on their immune system, and suddenly then they can't fight off disease, and they get chronic suppression of their immune system, and everything is denial. Now, what eventually happened to the employees there at that building in Phoenix? And really, Chris, one of the big problems is the air venting system, isn't it? That the vents get contaminated, and then all the air that's circulated is contaminated, and until they can clean up the air vents, why this the whole problem just continues. Were they ever able to get the building cleaned up, you know?
Well, I can't speak to the building's present situation. I can tell you that after the Time magazine's story ran, and this was in about 2000, they did replace the HVAC system, the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. They did do that. So they did make a very strong effort to clean up the building. Prior to that, they had pulled the carpeting off the walls, and there were huge patches of toxic mold. This was done at a time when the employees were in the building, so they got a huge dose at that time. But it's my understanding that they did replace the HVAC system in the building after that Time magazine story ran in about 2000 or so. And I don't know what the current status on the building is. As for the employees that you're referring to, that's a sad story. A lot of people did wind up very sick. Seven of the employees wound up suing the airlines for wrongful termination. They weren't able to work for over 2 years, and therefore they were terminated. They had health problems. One of them wound up with heart block, the strokes, the seizures. As soon as they would try to go back to work, they'd wind up with another stroke or another seizure. They wound up chemically sensitive, suffering from multiple chemical sensitivity. They tried suing the airlines for toxic tort and also for wrongful termination. This is what's interesting, shocking, if you will, is that the airline was granted by the Bexar County Court there, was granted a summary dismissal on all seven cases. In other words, there wasn't even really a hearing. They just were granted a summary dismissal, the airline was. It's a very powerful employer in San Antonio. And in tech throughout Texas, Southwest Airlines. But what was really shocking is that at the time that they were granted the summary dismissal, the court employees in that particular court were all under investigation for being receivers of stolen goods. And those stolen goods were $2 million worth of stolen Southwest Airlines tickets that were being sold by the clerk of the court to all the court employees, right up to the judges. His wife was an employee at Southwest Airlines and charged with giving out free tickets to inconvenienced travelers, and they moved these tickets over to the court, sold them at a pennies on the dollar to all the court employees, and it was mentioned by one of the women suing this court was in no position to adjudicate in this case because it was the receiver of stolen goods from the defendant.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, then you get into such things as what happened after the Gulf oil spill. I think that's fascinating because this is still going on, and certainly there are real problems as far as the fishermen are concerned, the safety of the fish, and various things coming out of the Gulf. Why don't you talk about the Gulf oil spill, certainly the effect of the spraying, the effect of the oil. What's happening down there? Because we're not getting the information. Certainly, there is control over the media here in the United States, and they're concealing the very real health problems. What do we know about the people who live adjacent to the Gulf, the people who work on the Gulf, the fishermen, the food that's coming out of the Gulf? What's going on?
Well, it started going on during the cleanup itself. And number one is that the workers themselves who were burning off all this oil, they would gather up all the oil during the day. With these pontoons, they would surround it and gather it up and concentrate it into one given area. And they were burning off millions and millions of gallons of this thick Louisiana crude, as they called it. They would hook the boats. These fishermen who were part of the cleanup would hook their boats up with a hose to these pontoons in order to fill them with water so they wouldn't burn while the oil was burning. They were forbidden at that time. They were 100 feet away from this huge burn eating all this. And they were forbidden by BP to wear respirators. They were forbidden to bring their own respirators. So they were eating this stuff all day for months on end. And in addition to this, they were given no blood test prior to, no physicals prior to going to work, no blood test prior to work. So if somebody winds up with benzene in their blood a month or 2 months after the spill, not going to be able to tell whether they got it from the spill or not. This was BP. No initial blood test. They gave them physicals 2 months after they started under pressure of the government. And incidentally, the EPA, the government, stood by and watched and even condoned not using respirators. And it was primarily just to not signal a toxic environment. They just didn't want it to look toxic. So it was basically for appearance purposes. Today, and incidentally, as you just mentioned, millions of gallons of Corexit, that is the dispersant that was used to break up this oil spill, was dumped from planes right on top of these workers out in the boats. And in fact, it drifted right on top of the people on shore as well. So today in the Gulf of Mexico, there are thousands of people who are suffering from chronic multi-system symptoms due to the exposures that they experienced during the BP cleanup. And that was primarily from the burn-off that was just floating in, all these toxicants floating in on the breezes into shore. And they're gravely, a lot of them are just permanently ill with, as Dr. Claudia Miller calls it, toxicant-induced loss of tolerance. In other words, they can't tolerate everyday exposures to perfumes, gasolines, cleaning products that they could before, and they wind up with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, cognitive and memory and problems, dizziness. It's quite disabling, and that's what's going on there now. Nobody's talking about it. The press isn't writing about it down there. They're writing about the porpoises. They're writing about the possible damage to the environment, but they're not talking about the illness of the people. And the reason why, and this comes from the Louisiana Environmental Action Network, who I've spoken to, is it's bad for business. This is Oil Alley down there, and they don't want to upset oil too much. And the other thing, too, is that it's not good for tourism. So they're keeping it under lid.
And, of course, this Claudia Miller is studying this sort of thing, but is not getting the information out. I know from personal experience with my son, who was in the military on the Navy, and, of course, whether it was the exposure to chronic chemicals, whether it was the exposure to the exhaust from the jet planes. He was working on a carrier, the multiple vaccines he got, but he developed terrible allergies. At the point where he almost died from acute respiratory failure and asthma. And he was healthy when he went into the military, and he was a physical cripple when he came out. And the Navy said, there's nothing wrong with him, you know, and we have responsibility. So basically, he's 20 years later, he's doing quite well. But he had to come home and live with us. And, of course, just at the time I started doing talk radio, he was trained, and he's our engineer. He's still with us. And fortunately, his health is pretty well returned. But he still has this, has to be very, very careful with what he eats and the things he comes exposure with. He still has terrible sensitivities. And this is really what's happening. People down there have these terrible allergies, don't they?
Yeah, it's different from allergies. Here's the thing, Dr. Monteith. This is very different. See, with allergies, as you know, these are typically the result of what they call an IgE response. In other words, the body produces an antibody to fight off an antigen, which is a foreign body coming in, right?
Right.
With this, this is a neurologic reaction. It attacks the nervous system, these toxins. So the brain becomes hypervigilant. And when there's any sensation by nerves that are along the skin or inside the respiratory tract or, for that matter, inside the pulmonary system, if they detect a chemical in the environment, and that could be perfume, that could be a cleaning product. It could be, any scented product that we use with our laundry, with our cleaning, anything. When it detects that, the brain signals the nerves to release a thing called substance P, which is an inflammatory protein, an inflammatory neurotransmitter, I'm sorry. And that causes inflammation, which then is supposed to bring in an immune response. But what's happening with people who have this problem, and your son included, it sounds like, is that the brain is sending out a body-wide alert to release this inflammatory neurotransmitter. And so they're winding up with inflammation throughout the body, which causes all these different symptoms. I didn't know, I'm sorry, I didn't know that your son had been a victim of also of Gulf War illness.
Well, it's anyway, fortunately he has gotten better, but it's been a long, hard whole time. Under any circumstances, what about the food coming out of the Gulf? They tell us, you know, everything is fine, nothing to worry about, no harm from the... from all these crabs, you know, crawling on the bottom where the bottom is covered with oil. The oil is still there. And certainly the government says everything's safe, but are they telling us the truth?
You know, I wish I could answer that one. I'm not privy to that information. I don't think very many people are. But I would take it with a grain of salt.
We'll cover that some other time then. When we get back, we'll talk about the Gulf War. And we'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Arnold and the book, They're Poison.
Florida Tile in Fort Collins is proud of our U.S. men and women in uniform. We thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made to defend our freedom. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return home. We honor those who've given their lives to fight terrorism. This message is courtesy of Florida Tile at 1833 East Harmony Road, number 9 in Fort Collins. They support the men and women of our armed forces in our community.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Right now, you can get an instant fuel rebate up to $2,500 on select new Kubota tractors for your home or business. That's right, an instant fuel rebate up to $2,500 or financing as low as 0% APR on select Kubota machines. So, what'll it be? Fuel in the tank or money in the bank? Learn more at KubotaBuyerDays.com or see your local Kubota dealer today. Hurry, Kubota Buyer Days ends September 30th.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at American Freedom Network. Our guest is Arnold Mann, and the book is They're Poisoning Us. Arnold, do you have a website, and how can people get your book?
Yes, my website is very simple, www.arnoldmann, that's two N's, M-A-N-N, net. So it's www.arnoldmann.net. The book can be obtained and buy it through Amazon. It's available on Kindle as well. And any book, it's Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, it can be ordered through any bookstore as well.
It's very interesting reading. Well, tell us about the Gulf War illness. Of course, the government insists there is no such entity. Nobody was ill. Nobody was, exposed to poison gas. Well, maybe a few hundred, a few thousand. I think they eventually admitted 50 to 100,000 of our own men. We poisoned by bombing. I mean, you'd think that somebody would be smart enough to know that if you blew up a bunker with poison gas in it, it would go into the air. But they went ahead and did it anyway, and they contaminated our men. Now, if you think they're stupid in Washington, D.C., or at the highest levels of the Army, I don't think they're stupid at all. I think that they know exactly what they're doing, but they've done everything they could to cover this up. So you pick up the story. What happened to our boys? How many of them are ill? What was the illness that they developed when they were over there during the first Gulf War?
I can do that. Let's start though with your word. I think stupid does apply here. It doesn't necessarily apply to the bombing of those bunkers that had the sarin in them, but the stupid applies perhaps to what happened prior to that war when we provided Saddam Hussein with the chemical weapons that he had when we went in there. And we did that because at the time he was our pal. Prior to this war, prior to the Persian Gulf War, when he was, we provided him those to protect himself, to keep in control the Iranians. And that's where he got his store of chemical weapons from us. So when we sent our troops in there, nobody wanted to know that they were going into that kind of harm's way, where they were going to be facing chemical weapons, let alone the ones that we provided Saddam Hussein with in the first place. They came in to our troops in two forms. They came in the form of Scud missiles, and the chemical alarms were going off night and day by the thousands. And they also came in because when they bombed the weapons depots, Saddam Hussein's weapons depots in Qamishia, they blew up those chemical weapons there, and our troops were downwind and got a regular dose of chemical weapons from that. So the reason why they covered it up was because we were the ones who put those chemicals weapons there in the first place. In fact, President George Herbert Walker Bush issued a series of advanced presidential pardons, if you will, for those who were involved in providing those weapons to Saddam Hussein through our own Commerce Department. They were licensed through the Commerce Department. And he provided a series of pardons. One of them was to Cheney, who was his defense secretary at the time, so that they wouldn't have to be prosecuted for that later on or face charges on it, whatever. So that's where the problem came from.
Well, now, Sydney, that was part of it. And then there were a lot of other chemicals that our boys were exposed to. So
you're right.
Things that they were forced to take, or then the toxic products that were in the uniforms. This was concealed and concealed and concealed. Why don't you bring out what was brought out by the Senate investigation, which incidentally cost the United States senator who headed the hearings, cost him his position. They went after him, and they got him out of the Senate.
Yeah, that was Senator Don Riegel. And if it wasn't for him, all this stuff would have stayed buried, and our troops would have been sick for 20 years with nobody admitting that it was caused by these terribly toxic exposures. The kinds of things that were finally implicated, we're talking about just in the last couple of years, and this was because of research done by a Dr. Robert Haley at the University of Texas and other researchers. The things that were implicated finally were what's called pyridostigmine bromide tablets. And these were tablets that the troops were given to take in the event of chemical weapons exposures. And these very powerful tablets, it occupies the same what's called the acetylcholine esterase receptors. and it can cause, in fact, the same problems that you can get from the sarin itself, in a sense that they became very sick, gastrointestinal problems and others. And it was believed that these were a contributing factor. Now it has been shown they're a contributing factor now to these people who are chronically ill with Gulf War illness. Number two was organophosphate pesticides. These have since been banned in the U.S. One troop said there were dead rodents on all kinds of stuff all over the place. Our clothing was treated with pesticides. We're even told to put flea collars around our bunks to keep the bugs out. There was pesticide spraying going on at all of the bases. They would set up tents in the middle of nowhere and just bomb them with pesticides on the inside before they sent the troops in. And then they would spray petroleum on the floor of the tents to keep the sand from flying around. And there were insect repellents as well, flea collars, as I mentioned. I think depleted uranium was another one, which has not been implicated. But we had depleted uranium rounds. These are particularly effective against tanks and such. But they also contaminate the entire region with uranium. When the troops go in there to clean up the mess, they get a full dose of that. I think one of the worst exposures that people got over there, and which was never completely implicated, were the Kuwaiti oil fires. I think if you'd like me to, I could give you a brief description.
You go ahead.
By Colonel Herbert Smith. And just read it from the book, and you can get a good dose of what this was like. Would you like me to do that?
Sure, you go ahead.
Thank you. Herbert Smith remembers it like it was yesterday, he said. It was night when they arrived by Humvees in Kuwait City, where Colonel Herbert Smith, an Army Special Forces Reserve officer, would serve as the American counterpart to the Kuwaiti Minister of Health, coordinating treatment of the wounded as they were brought in from the battlefield. Hundreds of thousands were expected to pour in when the war began. But even now, it seemed that death was in the air. The city was enveloped in a brooding, smoke-filled darkness like nothing any of them had ever seen. The only lights came from the few buildings that had emergency generators in them and from the oil fires that would burn for months like great torches across the desert landscape. Hundreds of them had been set aflame by Saddam Hussein's beaten forces as they made their hasty retreat from the city they had taken and lost, driven back to Iraq while American pilots continued to pummel and bombs. The daylight never came as the black smoke from the oil fires eclipsed the sun. You couldn't distinguish night from day, Smith recalled. If you saw a globe in the sky, you couldn't tell if it was the moon or the sun. Some of the wells had as much as 10,000 pounds per square inch of pressure pushing that oil up. That's why they couldn't put them out. Nobody had ever seen such a thing.
We'll be back in just a moment. Our boys were right in the middle of it, breathing in that air. Late for it. Talking. Be right back.
American Legacy Firearms in Fort Collins reminds us to salute our troops. Show them your support and send a care package today. This message from American Legacy Firearms in Fort Collins, the leader in custom engraved and laser engraved limited edition firearms and one-of-a-kind guns you can't find anywhere like NRA pistols. They offer special prices for NRA members and veterans. Call 221-0502. That's 221-0502 or visit them online at AmericanLegacyFirearms.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Family Center, La Familia in Fort Collins, says strong family connections, personal faith, and moral values are the stepping stones to what our children and this country needs. Let's put the emphasis back where it belongs and give our children a solid foundation for tomorrow.
This message comes to you from the Family Center, La Familia, 309 Hickory Street in Fort Collins. Another concerned local area business interested in the safety and welfare of our community. Give them a call at 970-221-1615. That's 970-221-1615. On the air, because they care.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Arnold Mann, his book, They're Poisoning Us. Do you have any idea how many of our troops came home from the Gulf War ill with the Gulf War illness? Do we have any idea?
Yes, we do. Of the 700,000 troops who went over there, 250,000 of them came back with Gulf War illness.
That's devastating figures. I have sort of interested in it because I, first of all, the Senate report investigation on this was totally suppressed by the mass media. They went after Senator Regal. He was forced out of the Senate. The next race time around, the powerful forces aligned against him. I tracked him down after he left the Senate and tried to get him into our program. And he said he just wasn't able to come on. Obviously, he'd got the word. He was not to talk about it. But he did refer me to his secretary to the report. We have copies of the report. You get them from Joyce Riley. Fascinating information, totally suppressed from the American people. And we know that an awful lot of those young men have died. We have the veterans report we make available. I think it was 2 years ago, January, where, according to the Veterans Administration here in the United States, of the 695,000 young men who went overseas to fight for freedom, 80,000 at that time were no longer living. And those were the 80,000 that they knew of. How many others died were not under Veterans Department affairs, we have no idea. But a great, great tragedy or a successful genocidal policy, who knows, under any circumstances. Those young men are ill out there. Did they ever get any veterans and benefits, or is the government still denying there is a Gulf War illness?
The government has finally, this is just within the last couple of years, been forced to admit that there's a Gulf War illness. Incidentally, there's one more exposure I didn't mention that was very important, and that was the anthrax vaccine and others that they were given. This anthrax vaccine, in order to make it work faster, they gave it a boost by adding something called squalene, which makes the immune system react a lot faster, which is why probably a lot of them wound up with ALS and other immune system problems. For the longest time, the VA was trying to write this thing off as stress. They were saying it's PTSD. The weak ones, they said, got it. The ones that couldn't handle the stress. Of course, this is not true. They were only funding stress studies up until the middle of the 2000s, when Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson finally forced them to fund a $75 million study by Dr. Robert Haley, looking at brain scans, animal trials, genetic trials and everything. And what came out of those trials, and some other studies as well, is what finally, and it was the Institute of Medicine, that finally said, yes, these are exposure-related syndromes that the Gulf War vets are experiencing. It is not in their heads. And the VA was finally forced in their most recent report to admit this and to say that certain exposures did in fact cause this illness. I have the hardest time trying to understand why they would try and attribute this to stress all these years. Perhaps they were overwhelmed with it, didn't know what to do about it, and perhaps they were also afraid of the accountability, the Department of Defense, VA, the accountability for our having made so many of our troops sick in a battlefield which they were not properly equipped to handle, not protected.
Okay, well, it's one of those great tragedies, ladies and gentlemen, terrible tragedy, and but it's all cover up and lies. Now, basically, of course, you have another center in part in your book about dying infants in mold infested inner city housing. Would you like to get into that, because this is something most people have no idea about?
Yeah, this took place in Cleveland originally in 1993. Dore Dearborn, who was the head guy at Cleveland Inner City, at Cleveland's Rainbow City Babies and Children's Hospital, all of a sudden mothers started bringing their children in with what was called idiopathic pulmonary hemosiderosis. What is that? Bleeding in the lungs. Their babies were being brought in. Infants were being brought in with pulmonary hemorrhaging. You'd expect to see maybe one or two cases of this every 10 years in a big city hospital like Cleveland's Rainbow Babies and Children's. All of a sudden, he saw 10 cases within about a 20-month period. He called up, when he saw number 10, he called up the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, was in charge of keeping us all healthy, protecting us. They had a team out the next day. That's how big a deal this was. And Ruth Etzel, who was the head of the CDC team, and Dr. Dearborn, they did a study. They started interviewing all of the patients, all of the, that is, the parents of the children who had been brought in with bleeding lungs. And they determined that it must be some kind of an environmental exposure. These were children all from inner city housing. And it was a very rainy year that year, and there was a lot of mold going on there. I thought, let's do a study and see what's going on. They looked at the infants who were sick at the houses they lived in. They looked at infants that were healthy in that same geographic corridor, and they looked at their houses. They did environmental hygiene inspections of both sides of that equation. What they found was that the infants who had suffered from pulmonary hemorrhaging had huge stachybotrys growth in those houses. In the end, the CDC team came up with an association between stachybotrys, that toxic mold, and the possibility of pulmonary hemorrhaging in infants. One of those infants had died, by the way. The CDC did an 8-month review of their researchers' data, gave them the okay, the green light. The data was published. The next year, that was in 97, 98, they were published in those 2 years in two different journals. The next year, they got a new director of CDC in, and suddenly, an outside panel of experts was called in to re-review all the data from the original team's study. In 2000, it was released by the CDC director's office without any authors listed on it, just from the CDC director's office, that the reevaluation of all the data had determined that no association could be made between stachybotrys and pulmonary hemorrhaging in infants. Now, mind you, this was at a time when everybody thought toxic mold was going to be the next asbestos. All the insurance companies were circling their wagons. And
well, we're out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest, Ben Arnold, man, his books, they're poisonous. Ladies and gentlemen, they are. God bless. Thanks so much.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Prospect Implement Company in Keensburg salutes America's armed forces and military veterans for the sacrifices they've made. Our troops, our angels of freedom, our wings of protection, fighting to defend our country. We honor our warriors for their sacrifices and their bravery. We also honor our veterans and those who have given their lives, America's true heroes. This tribute from Prospect Implement Company in Keensburg, the name to remember for all your farm machinery equipment needs. Call 732-4321. The staff at Don's Handyman Service reminds all parents that drug abuse is a national plague. Please sit down for a loving and caring talk with your children about the dangers of drug use. Education begins in the home, not in the classroom or institution. That was courtesy of your friends at Don's Handyman Service, located in Fort Collins. They're a concerned corporate neighbor working for safer communities for everyone. They wish everyone a happy summer season, and they're on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mr. Mann. His book is fascinating reading. Of course, it goes right along with our whole thesis of population control. If you haven't read my Population Control Agenda monograph, I go up on the Internet, just type in Population Control Agenda and Stan Monteith or Radio Liberty, or go to our website. It's posted there. If you buy anything from us and you want a copy, we'll get it for you. Now, it needs to be updated, but there just aren't enough hours in the day to do everything we need to. I will comment that I am at the present time preparing a talk I'm going to be giving in Littleton, Colorado, at the South Denver Marriott Hotel on the 17th of September. If Maureen is out there listening, I'd appreciate if she'd give me a call this morning. She's one of our regular listeners. She's going to be there, but you can want more information on that talk, you can call our 800 number. They'll tell you the number it's being put on. It's a Christian group. It's going to be an all-day meeting. They've given me the last opening in the day. I think it's at 8 o'clock at night, but it should be interesting. A lot of great speakers there, and I'm pleased to be going. Going to have a table there, and we'll have copies of my Population Control Agenda monograph. I will be talking on population control at our October 23rd meeting here in Santa Cruz at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. I hope that our contingent from Colorado will be there. That's on the 23rd of October. You'll learn about it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I need to remind you that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. We do have a few advertisers. We're grateful for them, and we have people who do support us, and we really appreciate their generous support. But if you're out there in the listening audience, and you're concerned about what's going on, and you know we're not getting the truth from the media, and you know that there is what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness that is intent upon destroying this nation, there's no shortage of money for lending. The banks are sitting on $3 trillion, so there's only six of them. They're part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Six major banks control 70% of the money. And then, of course, the corporations tied into the Brotherhood of Darkness are sitting on a couple of trillions of dollars. They're not investigating. Why? They want to bring down our economic system, destroy the value of our currency, impoverish our people, and then they'll be willing to give up their sovereignty and go along with their plan for the world government. Of course, we're going to have a big war with the Muslim world in the meantime. We're already toppling all of the governments over there in the Near East, the Middle East, turning them over to the Muslim Brotherhood, a radical extremist group. And, of course, we've funded that going back to 1928, at least the British branch of the Brotherhood did, that was MI6. Now, we've been financing it, the CIA, since the early 50s. The book tells you the devil's game. The devil's game. We're working with the devil. We're working with the radical Muslims in preparation for the coming war. An awful lot of boys are going to die. And in this one, we're not going to be immune. Why do you think America isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation? Well, you need to get the information, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, The Devil's Game. call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to support Radio Liberty, we'd love to hear from you. And if not, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because this is a spiritual battle. There really are powerful spiritual forces at work in this effort to destroy our nation. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Maureen, give us a call. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern